24th, 2023, from the Birdsong High School Commencement Awards Committee, and award blank with blank dollars each towards a post-secondary education. And further, the Council of the Township of McKellar congratulate all Birdsong High School graduates on their commencement and wish them well in their future endeavors. Discussion? We have some names?
No, so no names were provided yet. Students had up until today to submit. So I would maybe suggest deferral, just in case there is a McKellar resident, but to all of our knowledge, there doesn't seem to be any graduates for 2023, but there could be, so I would just defer just to be safe.
Sounds good. Is that okay, Councilor Haskell Murata?
Yes, so to double check that, does our staff here actually contact the Birdsong High School to... And they'll tell us if there's...
Yes, we'll contact the high school.
Right, okay.
And they can confirm whether we have someone.
Thank you.
Okay, call the question for deferral. All those in favor? None opposed, deferred. We have resolution 23-351, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby awarded the 2023 grants / donations to the following. John Omick.
Oh, I'll declare my conflict there. Okay, thanks.
John Omick Snowrider Snowmobile Club, $1,000. Birdsong District Nest Box Project, $1,400. And Herdville Community Club, $1,600. Discussion? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. So we'll record that conflict? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've got it in the agenda.
Okay. Guess we can call him back then.
When he's wearing a mic and he's out there, we can listen into what he's doing now. So.
Is that our code word moving forward?
I guess.
Like the movie Naked Gun?
I decided that it's important that we can turn them off when we leave the room, so...
No ulterior motive there. That's good.
I'll have a conflict every meeting about halfway through.
Yeah. You can make it up at the last minute, right? Yeah.
And resolution 23-352, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby instruct the clerk administrator or designate to confirm in writing with the township's insurance provider that all volunteers, including those who might volunteer to assist in the maintenance of municipally owned, presently unassumed roads, are covered under the township's blanket liability policy. And further be it resolved that such confirmation is followed up by the appropriate department head, resulting in communication with any interested volunteers who would complete the requisite forms prior to volunteering. Discussion? Debbie Heineken, start us off.
Yes, you and I had... Yeah, come on.
Tip it up a bit, yeah.
And I had spoken a week or so ago about this, and I have been in contact with the insurance agent. I do have a copy of this that you guys can all take a look at, and I would like to have a report prepared for the next council meeting. I was curious to see that I can't find that we have a volunteer policy anyway, and I think that it's probably something that we should be looking at. Most municipalities do have. I will do a deeper search to find something, but at this point, I don't find any kind of policy. So I would like to, for the next meeting, have a report to council. Because looking at the volunteers who may be working on roads, it's going to fall under a completely different category than someone who is on a committee. However, they still are covered as if they're working on behalf of the municipality, they are still covered by our liability insurance.
Yeah, because the forms they fill out for committees, like you said, are volunteers, and even if they're not on a committee, I guess they're just volunteering to help with baseball or something. They have to sign something, and it's a waiver, but also that they're covered under the blank insurance policy, and that's right in what they sign.
Yes.
And so that would apply to these people as well. This all stemmed from a situation on Fire 152, and they had volunteers in the past, as many of the unassumed roads did, I think. And they were helping to repair the roads at their own cost, and they get quite concerned with the liability involved and wonder if they couldn't be covered through the township insurance. And I wasn't sure why they couldn't be, because they are volunteering. And as you say, it's a little different situation because they're working with machinery of their own. And that's why I thought with department heads especially that Greg should be involved in this. Not that we're giving any direction, but he should know what's going on, because even though they're unassumed roads, they are township-owned roads, and so he should be aware of what repairs being made. If the next meeting is soon enough, I guess, I know the potholes aren't getting repaired in the meantime, but if we get something in place by then, I think that would be a help, that they can go forward and continue to work on it. And we have some sense of who is working on it and what kind of cover. They feel much more comfortable, too. They'll have to sign off, and it would have to be through Greg and through Ryan, I think, to do that. I think it's a good idea that they can be covered, and they're still helping with the municipally owned road. I know we had that problem years back when we passed the ATV bylaw on the unassumed roads. They were allowed to go on all roads in the township, even the unassumed ones. And the people were complaining, some of them, that, well, we're maintaining these at our cost, and yet these people can come in and they're not even from this subdivision, and they can tear up the roads. And there was a concern. I think the ATV bylaw is still in place, including all the roads that may have been altered since. So I'm thinking this too with these roads, and if things go according to our plan down the road, no pun, these will be looked after by the municipality. But in the interim, people have complained too about they were getting the work done from people who lived in there. Just through their own goodwill, I guess, and their own costs. But those people have stopped doing that, and you can't really blame them. So I'm thinking this is one way to have them covered. And if we can get it the sooner the better, then they would feel more comfortable too. So if we can have it by next meeting with a report and something for them to sign, I think that's great. Councillor Ryan.
I know we have a standard volunteer form that I had signed.
Yes.
Before I was on council, and I know working at the market last year, Jan asked me to sign a new volunteer form each time that I was there, each like week, which I thought was unusual. I said, if you want me to sign it, I'll sign it, but I mean, I don't really understand why I can't sign once and do that. And I know in reading the letter back from the insurance company, it doesn't mention the market. I mean, I didn't really think it would, but wouldn't we really try and aim this so that if they had signed a volunteer form, that they would be covered under our policy? In other words, instead of having to list each individual activity or whatever, that would seem to me to make sense.
Yes.
But
it would cover them on in any capacity.
And it kind of says that in the last sentence, but it's...
It would be more just a record keeping to know, somebody who's
a
volunteer for the recreation committee versus somebody who's using equipment on a road.
Right.
You know, we just want to be able to know who's doing what.
And are committees obliged to provide a copy of the volunteer form to you or to
if they're on a committee, when they provide that form, that's what gets
approved.
Okay,
but for Jen, who has, a constant influx and things, I mean,
I'm not sure of the
form. As long as she keeps them, I'm okay with that. But I mean, and she did. She was quite good at chasing me down and making me sign. So
I haven't seen the forms that Jan had signed, so whether...
Well, it's a Township of McKellar form. It's headed
okay.
on letterhead, so,
okay,
and, you know, we fill in the blanks and things like that. And even when I volunteered for, I don't know, maybe the action plan meetings, I signed one for that,
yes.
too.
Yes,
so
the ad hoc committees,
yeah.
you would have signed one for that.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have had to sign that every time.
I know.
So
I thought it was that, but
yeah.
you know, there's enough stress going on at the market. I just
yeah.
sign it and
so,
shut it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know that. I would think that if it's someone who's going to the market on a regular basis and assisting,
sure.
that the form signed once.
Yeah.
As long as we have a copy of that
sure.
on file,
sure.
in
well,
the
well,
they're
all in a binder and everything
yeah.
too. So.
So then.
Yeah.
Then you would be fine. You would
okay.
be fine.
Okay. I'm off topic a bit, I apologize.
Councillor
Hassan? Yeah, and that brings up another question is, say, with our rec committee, and we do have other, besides who's appointed on their rec committee, other volunteers that come from
mm-hmm.
all walks of life from the township, should we be having them sign some sort of a letter also?
We should probably, if they're coming in and they're helping for the day, we should have some kind of a waiver signing.
Yeah.
They don't need to fill out the application form to become a volunteer. They're volunteering for one day, but we absolutely need to have some kind of a waiver that they're signing
okay.
so that we know if something does happen that day,
okay.
that we've got them covered.
I guess our rec committee, I believe, would request some of those waiver sheets as soon as they're available.
Okay.
And same with our 150 committee.
Yeah.
Then.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Any sorry, Annie, earlier you were mentioning a policy. I was unclear whether you were talking about an insurance policy or just a policy that the township has
no.
about volunteers.
A policy the township should have in regards to volunteers.
Okay, thank you. That makes
sense.
So clear.
That it covers
so,
all
yeah.
aspects,
yeah.
whether it's somebody
okay.
who's volunteering.
And you don't think we have one?
I have not been able to find one. I have found where there have been instructions for the volunteers to sign for a police check or
mm.
things like that, but nothing that specifically says that we have a volunteer policy.
Okay.
I just want to look into that a little deeper, and if not, then that's something that we need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember with the swim program years and years back, that's when we started the waiver because before then there wasn't too much going on. You're just taking your chances, I guess, and but we made sure that each participant there, the parents, signed that waiver form.
Mm-hmm.
So that would tie in with the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, you're right, actually. I mean, it's as much about being a participant as a volunteer, too, right? But
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Call the question then. All in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-353, moved by Councillor Hassan, seconded by Councillor Ryan, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby new bylaw number 2023-37, being a bylaw to authorize cost recoverers fees with respect to fire department's specific response, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed the local council the 16th day of May 2023. Discussion? That was a good presentation, certainly, and with our fire chief here, too, supporting it. So, but I don't know whether you need more information from other townships who have started it, whether they're benefiting from it, or whether there are problems with it. So it's either approved or not approved or deferred. So whether you have enough information at this point, it's up to you. Councilor Zua.
So... there's no contract or nothing that we sign, right? And we don't give a fee. There's no fee from what he said. So we can... So how do we...
Well, I just wanted to... That's why I had a couple questions for him, because as I'm reading in other townships, there were people who didn't support it because they felt that it was already being paid for through the taxes that they paid for the fire department through the budget process. He tried to answer that it was a separate item from that. And I wanted to make sure, too, that it wasn't the policy, the private policy that the individual had, wasn't going to be increased, the premiums, because of them coming in and wanting shouldn't be a connecting link, but in our other townships, some voted against it for that reason, that they were concerned about the company do this, and why is it done now and not done before? It just seemed that somebody saw an opening there, I guess, and the argument that they used regularly was that these people are professionals dealing with insurance companies, and that the insurance company does owe it, and it's just that they've avoided it before because they didn't have professionals coming in and finding it and requiring it. So they argue that they're doing a good job of finding a new revenue source for the townships, for the fire departments. So, as I said, I don't know whether you want to check on it. That's why I mentioned McDougall. Strong was McMurray, Monteith, some others in the area, to see what kind of revenue they are receiving from this program. I don't know. It's relatively new when you think about it, what they're doing. It is a new revenue source, in a way, for the fire department.
So the only thing that holds us to it is will be that resolution, right?
I believe there is a contract that we sign, but there's no annual premium that we pay.
There's a contract.
There is a contract.
Yeah, they just
but you could
they skim off
30%.
I haven't seen the contract.
It's in the agenda package. It's attached to the bylaw that you have by them.
Okay.
Not in the council.
Okay. Well, that in itself, I think, would be worthwhile looking over, which
yeah.
we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the deferral might be the.
Yeah.
All agreeable to that?
Yeah.
And
yes.
In the meantime, we can check with other townships as well.
Mm. Yes. Good thought.
Okay. Call the question then. All those to defer. All in favor of deferral? Carried. All those defer. Where you're going. And resolution 23-354, moved by Councillor Peckman, second by Councillor Hassan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2022-38, being a bylaw to stop up and close part of the original road allowance between concession 12, part lot 21, and concession 13, part lot 21, Township of McKellar, District Ferry Sound, and to accept the conveyance of portions of Balsam Road, in parentheses, Zulac, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council the 16th day of May 2023. Discussion? Whether Carly wants to give some background on this, I don't think I have a mic. Just upgrading the bylaw we had, I guess.
Yeah, so the original bylaw that was passed was 2023-26. When it was sent to the solicitor, they noted some comments that they wanted the bylaw amended, which we were ending up rescinding 2023-26 and passing this new bylaw. So in order for the bylaw to be registered on title, it needed to include the exact legal description set out part road allowance, which will be sold and closed. And the other note was that the bylaw, the previous bylaw, 2023-26, did not actually authorize the township to accept lands which are being given in exchange or authorize the execution necessary documents, etc., for the transfer to the township. So this road closure, it wasn't a sale, it's a transfer. So the bylaw did not actually authorize the township to accept the land. So this new bylaw has been drafted by the solicitor and it has all of the requirements needed. And then I did ask the solicitor if we would have to post notice for this new bylaw being passed, and her reply was no. Notice, other notice requirements were met for 2023-26, so that no further notice is required for this new bylaw.
Excellent, thank you. Well, that's good. Now we can use this as a template, right? We don't have to go back to it?
Yes.
For future ones? Well, that's good. It makes sense what she's saying. The rules have changed a bit too, so. Said you were going with the other, you didn't need such a detailed description before the actual land. So that's good. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. say it is. And so I was questioning repealing that section, or at least rescinding that section of it, amending the bylaw, but then I discovered that in 2022-38, there was another bylaw passed about remuneration, and that clause that I was concerned about, the Consumer Price Index in October, was removed. So it doesn't exist anymore. And that was rather interesting. So whatever was used in bargaining, whether it should have been or not, is the questionable part. But so we're in a situation we don't have to amend 2019. It's already been changed to 2022-38. And that clause referencing October Consumer Price Index has disappeared. I don't know what happened back then. Maybe people on council can recall. But I think we're okay now with that clause. We don't have to go by the Consumer Price Index. This is for council remuneration. This is not staff. So if anybody recalls what happened?
Yeah, I believe the year before the council decided not to take an increase at all.
So that would be the reason then to change, take that clause out, right? Because the clause had said that you were going to take it depending on the consumer price index in October of the year before. Because you didn't take any increase then that year,
right.
You just took that clause and right out of there came up with a new bylaw by the looks of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how staff.
That was in
dealt with the bylaw.
That was in the budget discussions of last year. I would have to ask Roshan how he dealt with it, but yeah, the discussion was at the time that council was not going to take the increase. I don't recall that the bylaw was changed, but it's possible.
I should have brought a copy of it. It's 2022-38. That was the bylaw that was just interesting to find that. And I think that's a good reason to have the unfinished business so we can go back and check some of these things to also have access to. And that's why I was asking you and Patrick tonight for that consent from 2007. That might have been important to see that. What was done back then, what conditions were going on. I know things change, but it's nice to be able to cross-reference and find these things.
It would be nice if the link was incorporated in the document that we're reading. You know, the same with the email from Forrest Pengra and the things that he referenced. It would have been good if there was a hyperlink to those specific things so you could just click on and then read that document and see what he was referring to.
Councilor Ryan.
I recall when we were talking about the HR policy revisions, which I don't think we passed, but I mean, nevertheless, at
I'm
that
working
time.
On.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for Roshan to give me
okay.
information.
I had asked Carly specifically, who was clerking that meeting, I believe, anyhow, if we could get copies of the policies from the other, or at least from representative local municipalities, just to compare, because why invent the wheel when you can steal somebody else's, is kind of my point of view. My only point to bring that up here is I would like to see that on the list of unfinished business as well. I mean, I'm not suggesting, I mean, for this exact purpose right now, it doesn't matter, but I mean, for the next list, anyhow, so.
No, that's right. All I was able to do, I checked with Perry Sound, I checked with Whitestone, they're both unionized, a little different. But I looked at it, I think we have a fairly strong policy, even though it's dated. And that's why I wanted to be updated a little bit with the green shield and the coverage, et cetera. Roshan or I could provide, and just the wording. But I think a lot of those things in there, they were ahead of their time. That the policy, I think, was quite good when you compare it to the other townships. So I don't think there's a great number of things we have to change in it. But we certainly have to get more information from staff to finish it off and put it in place for next year.
I was just going to say, a good source for that information as well. If you go to AMCTO Google search,
okay,
you'll be able to pull up
makes
policies,
sense.
Bylaws from everywhere in the province.
So would you need a membership to
nope.
be able to pull that on?
Nope.
Yeah, that often happens when you get into those sites.
Yeah, no, you don't need.
Okay.
You don't.
Okay. apologize for bringing this up right at this point in time. Actually, under the correspondence, I had a question about how items that we receive, that the township receives, actually make or do not make the list. I mean, do we have, maybe policy is too strong a word, do we have a method that we follow as to what makes the list for correspondence?
Anything that is information to council would go under the consent agenda. If there's something in specific in the consent agenda that you wish to speak to, all you have to do is ask me and we pull it and we'll put it in correspondence for consideration.
Okay.
Generally, anything that goes correspondence for consideration is something where someone is asking for support for a resolution or support for a program, things like that. Otherwise, it would just be information. It would go in the consent agenda.
My question specifically is that Dave Spiegel sent an email, I believe last week, I don't know the exact date, and copied it to everybody here present.
Yes.
I'm not sure about Carly, but possibly Carly too. And yet that isn't covered here under correspondence. I'm wondering, do we look at emails as a source of correspondence too?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And I'm familiar with the email from Mr. Spiegel, but
right.
we didn't receive it
on time
for
okay.
this agenda.
So would it be in our next meeting then?
It would be in our council correspondence.
Okay, that's a good explanation. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I just wasn't sure if email made the list, that's all. I know in being part of a major organization, it was a big hurdle to get to that point because we thought of correspondence as being mail letters.
Right.
So
no emails are considered
okay.
as well.
Okay, thank you. Is there a policy, a document, a guide, a whatever that, you know, I'm not trying to invent a new policy, I don't think we need to, but is there a standard that has been set that we follow?
Just the basic standard that, the same as I followed when I worked in Carling as well, is that if it's just information, it's going into the consent agenda. It's
okay.
just information. If there's something particular in the consent agenda that you wish to speak to, you just ask the clerk to have it brought forward and we
okay.
put it into the
okay. Good. Thank
correspondence
you.
For consideration.
Just demonstrating my ignorance, that's all I just, but thank
you.
Can
you hear me?
That's Dave speaking.
Sorry?
Speaking.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Along the phone.
Yes.
So, I did send an email this week, and I understand it wouldn't be on the agenda for this week, but prior to the May 2nd meeting, I sent two pieces of correspondence to council and to the clerk administrator. One of them had to do with my process for road assumption, and the second one had to do with the PowerPoint presentation, which were my speaking notes for the committee as a whole. Those two were received at least 2 weeks ago, and I'm just curious why those wouldn't be considered as part of the record of correspondence with the township, because I would like to see some of the things that I've worked hard on recorded and reflected in council, at least acknowledgement that it's reflected in the minutes that council's received it, even if they've decided not to do anything with it. And so any comment on that? Because there are those two pieces of email that I had sent going back to late April prior to the May 2nd meeting. And they're not on this list.
Yeah, they could be put on, as you say, it missed the deadline for the meeting at which you spoke. All of that is recorded, of course, what you said, and you did summarize some of your PowerPoint and your plan going forward. And then we have the resolution. I don't think there's anything wrong with having your correspondence put on, because that did come to us that way, so it would meet the deadlines by now. It is on the next agenda, so we can include that, put that as background as well.
Can I ask a related question? When that's provided and or when it's on the agenda, is either correspondence or the consent agenda, where does it get filed afterwards, or does it get filed? Or I mean, it's a basic question, I just don't know. In other words, if I wanted to look back at something, and I'm not, but if I wanted to look back at something a couple of years ago, is it possible to do that?
Yes and no. Everything is to be in a filing system.
Okay.
We don't have, our filing system is not up to date,
okay.
And with a shortage of staff, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
And do we have a document management system or plan?
We do. Right, we have a plan. Carly was working with Lori on that.
Okay.
It's put on a back burner to bring our filing system up to date.
Because of resources.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking, certainly if all the documents are put in Word as such, then a search engine will find your particular subject matter that you're looking for.
Mm.
PDF, no, but Word can find them.
Mm-hmm.
So if the documents are actually typed originally, and I think all our minutes are,
mm-hmm.
then you should be able to find what you're looking for just by searching the Word program or the storage, whatever you have for storage.
Like by keyword or by just
keyword? Keyword should do it.
It's a string search. Can I
mm-hmm.
type in Nick Ryland and see how many times it finds it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If your name shows up, yeah.
Yeah.
I assume mine would anyway. Yes. Yes.
So the correspondence that comes in, then it would hopefully appear in the agenda package.
Right.
And so if an individual were reading through the minutes, then they could, if there's something of interest that's noted in the minutes or even listed in the agenda, then they can get further information about whatever the topic was from pulling up the agenda package, which would have that specific correspondence that council is looking at when they're dealing with the topic at hand.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, what I've been doing with everything from the council meetings since I've been at the table, everything, the agenda, everything like this, is all kept in a file together with that date on, so we know that that's in that date
package.
Particular. We don't break it down. The resolutions go in a specific binder. The minutes go in a specific binder. Everything else here stays in one package until we have the ability to update our filing system to TomRooms. That's what we do in order to keep it straight where it is.
Have we looked at a document management system?
No.
Okay, I'm sure it would be costly, but
yes,
yeah,
it would be very costly.
Hmm.
The other thing I'm getting emails from different ministries, and they send it to themselves, so I'm not sure who they're actually receiving it. It's not just coming to me. I'm sure I'm not whether all council is getting it or not. So I've sent out a couple to you. I'm not sure whether you're receiving them, and I'd like everybody to see it, but I don't want to keep doing that if you are receiving things. We just had something recently on. But the asset management plan, and there's somebody who's willing to come around and talk to select municipalities. I don't know if everybody got that or not.
I got that. I actually spoke to Rose today.
Okay. So that's, I say, all council should be in on those things, and I can certainly forward, but it's just confusing the way they send it.
True.
They just send it to themselves, then I don't know who that goes to.
Well, they're BCC, not even CC, not addressee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But and I don't know whether you want to receive all of those emails or not, but it's nice to keep up on all the stuff that's coming out.
I don't think I received that one anyhow. I'm 99% sure. I could always be wrong, but
I can forward the one that I got today. I received a phone call from her. She was actually looking for Tammy Wiley.
Okay.
So once I updated her, she sent the information to me in regards
was
to...
Was she sending it to Tammy?
No, she was trying to send it to Tammy's McKellar email that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that may be another issue is that in the past, certain correspondence which belongs to the corporation of the township of the McKellar was being sent to individuals, and then council was not able to access that information.
Mm-hmm.
Can we ensure that whenever something is sent which belongs to the corporation,
mm-hmm.
that that's corrected immediately with the sender, that
mm-hmm.
it be addressed to Corporation Township of Keller in care of clerk administrator?
Yeah, we can do that.
And if they're emails, they could be forwarded to the right address anyway, which would then create a record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good point, because unfortunate what was happening, and it doesn't become the township file, it becomes that person's unless they were in that position. So it should be coming to the position, to the township, not to that individual, and then you can't access any of that information to anybody, so it's just incorrect, the whole procedure.
Okay.
So hopefully, I see most of the stuff coming through actually gives the position and then the name, so I think we're gradually getting things moved around a bit, but there's still some stuff coming through with the name first, you're right, and that could create a future problem. I hope it doesn't.
The problem with it is that the sender, their privacy policies prevent them from providing that information to anyone other than who it's addressed to, who isn't even, say in the case of insurance policy, isn't even the insurance policy holder.
Right.
The corporation of the Township of McKellar is.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you. That was
You're welcome.
I noticed on the unfinished business too. I think it was on there. The or maybe from Chris Everett's report about the dog bylaw.
Yeah.
I know we have to look into that, but I think what's holding us up right now, apparently there's something from the something that Chris had passed on. Was it the Auditor General? Who was he sending it to? Attorney General, I guess.
The Attorney General.
For comments, and apparently that's come back, but
yes, so I received an email from Chris today with the comments from the representative from the Attorney General, so we'll have the comments that she's provided to the draft bylaw on the June 6th meeting.
Okay, well, that sounds good, because I know Councillor Haskell was quite concerned. He wanted to make sure that he had a leash on his dog back in Providence. Wanted to make sure what the rules were.
Have we heard anything back from Perry Sound Bylaw Enforcement?
No, I'll have to contact them again.
Okay, thank you.
Now, this may be under new business, but I also, I think something is true about the cemetery board. We need a meeting soon in June. There's a new, sorry.
It's okay. So the cemetery board will need to call a meeting for sometime in June. So these new columbariums are another type of monument that's being requested in the cemetery. So it's allowing for more cremations to be on one plot that's currently permitted. So we'll need direction from the cemetery board as to how to charge for this in the future. So more information to come.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too if we can treat the cemetery board similar to what we've done with the roads committee and have it as a committee of the whole. My concern with having separate committees and having a cemetery board is that you need your own minutes, you need your own rules, you need your own chair, whereas and it's all council sitting on it anyway. So if we just do it through a committee of the whole and have discussion generally about the cemetery, if that's okay, rather than a separate committee just for the cemetery or a board. I know in the past it used to be different because you had lay people on the board that were separate from the municipality. They would have somebody sit on the board, but they sort of ran their own, something like the fire department, I think. They had their own people. They did their own maintenance. They did their own burials. They looked after everything. But then it was transferred over to back to the township. And I'm not sure we need that terminology anymore as a cemetery board. I know in Whitestone they still have a separate board with lay people on it. But if we're just the only ones sitting on it, I think it makes it much easier just to do it as a committee of the whole. But just a suggestion. Councilor Cook.
Is that governed under a legislative act, though, that there are some?
It is under the Ontario Bereavement Authority. I'll have to look into it further, but like these are permitted and other municipalities are allowing them. It's a new thing to this area, so we'll just have to research more into it.
But I'm talking
about the board itself.
The board itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'll look into that further.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a separate board, no problem with it. But it's just that I noticed it was happening before with the roads committee. Various, and it even happened with the committee of the whole before. Various resolutions were passed when you were in the roads committee, and it never came back to council, even though they were a committee of council. It just went straight from the roads committee to enactment. That didn't seem right, so I didn't want that cemetery board, if it's going to exist on its own, then that's a different matter, like the committee of adjustment, if that's what happens, and they don't have to report back to council, that's another whole area to look at, but since we're the only ones sitting on it, I'm not sure you can check into the legislation.
We'll look into it with the Ontario Agreement Authority, and if it doesn't need to be in separate board, then we can have the Committee of the Whole for the next council meeting on June 6th.
Yeah, if you could check on that, that'd be good. Because there are different things, certainly, with the cemetery we have to cover, and I know we've never met just ourselves, and I'm not even sure if the last council did at any point. But there are a number of issues, and the one in particular that I wanted to make sure Greg could follow up on, I'm not sure if he did, maybe some of you know, of actually leaving room in the cemetery for a road to go do a, like a cul-de-sac, and not to sell the plots where the road would go. Because it's getting more and more difficult as you move down further. There just aren't roads, they have to cut across graves to get, and it just made all kinds of sense. And it was marked out years back for the roadway to go through, not only for the equipment that has to go in, but for the hearse and different people. I just want to make sure that's followed up before those plots that are online where the road would go are actually sold. So, anyway, so there are some issues we can talk about. Any reports from committees? Council attended?
Yep.
Go ahead, Councilor Zula.
I'll just do a brief report on the District Municipal Association meeting, and then you guys can give your side of it, okay? So on May the 5th in Sprucedale, they had their 166th meeting for the District Perry Sounds Municipal Association. The fall meeting will be held in Whitestone. Resolution S7-23 was carried, appointing Carly Britton as the Secretary Treasurer for the District of Perry Sound Municipal Association, effective June the 1st.
Congratulations.
The Secretary Treasurer's municipality receives an annual payment of $824 for her doing the work. There's 23 member municipalities currently. Linda Carlton, the mayor for the township of Macar, was appointed president for the 22-26 term. Linda Carlton also is the returning rep for Fanon. There is now 19 municipalities in Fanon, 110 towns and cities in Northern Ontario. There was one other candidate, Ashley Brandt, councillor for the village of Birch Falls. Registration fees went up from $30 to $50, I believe. And I'm pretty sure the annual membership fee went up. Carly, do you remember what it went up to? I was thinking it was 170, but I can't find anything in my notes. Does anybody remember?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, 170 for next year, the fee for the memberships. MPAC representative for Perry Sound Muskoka is Caitlin Potts, if anybody needs to get in touch with her. Scott Aitchison's office sent regrets, but sent his assistant, Jessica Dixon. Graydon Smith and his assistant, James King, were on hand. For anyone who would like to contact Graydon, he gave his phone number. It's 705-644-3253. And that's about it. Anybody else wants to say anything on the other speakers that were there? Go ahead.
Well, I know there's a big hoopla about the meal. How was the meal?
It was excellent.
Okay, it was.
Yeah, it was good.
Having been a first-time attendee, I found it interesting, more interesting than I expected to be perfectly frank. And there was lots of discussions. What I took away out of there, because I'm aware that Seguin benefits from this to an enormous extent, is getting materials donated to them that have been removed from provincial highways. The MTO donates it like to a massive extent, and that covers a million things within Seguin. And I started thinking I need to talk to Greg, or council needs to talk to Greg, to see if we can do the same thing about, you know, any materials that are coming through on 124 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did last year.
Okay.
When
do we receive it?
Yes, it's
okay.
It's
yes.
On the property up by the barn.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's good. Anyway, but it's just little things, like lots of times they're not like a big topic or anything. All of a sudden it comes up and you go, yeah, there's a good way of doing it. But I'm familiar with ones in Seguin because of my experience with earlier with Park to Park. But and frankly, they've redone that trail basically from 400 all the way over to Orville with materials that were donated by the MTO. So their only cost is to transport it. That makes one heck of a difference. So And I'm just thinking it could be the same for us, even for, you know, dealing with upgrading roads or even fixing our own you know, assumed roads. But I didn't realize, I don't know how much we got, but yeah, last summer when they were resurfacing, there must have been one heck of a pile of materials. So
everything that they took from the 400 to McKellar.
Okay.
Everything that they peeled
yeah.
off
yeah.
was delivered to the property up there.
If you drive out, and I'm not suggesting necessarily you should, but if you go out the Seguin Trail out to Orville,
mm-hmm.
And it's like night and day compared with a couple of years ago
mm-hmm.
because of all that material. So.
There was just one other thing. I didn't get to go to the back to check out the maps. Did any of you do that work? The MTO is saying they're going to do 16 kilometers on Highway 124 and 26 in 2026. Did anybody get to see that?
From McKellar to the 520.
McKellar to the 520? Thanks, Connie.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. They've done that road a couple times. The McKellar up to
yeah.
520. Hopefully from Prairie Sound to McKellar will last longer than what's lasted up.
Well, McKellar to Prairie Sound lasted a long time from when they did it before.
Yeah.
A long, long time.
Hmm. Okay, any other committee reports? Councillor Hassan, I think you were willing to say something there.
Well, I just touch on the 150th committee. It continues to meet and had a successful District 18 horticultural celebration not last Saturday, the Saturday before, I believe. So that went really well. And they were now working on the Indigenous artwork ceremony on June the 3rd at 2 o'clock here in the community center. So they're going through all their events and they're starting to now plan for the big day on July 28th weekend, I believe it is. A lot of planning in that. And so that's all going good. Good volunteers on the committee and rep committee. Well, seems like everything they're doing, everything's busy. Pickleball was too busy from what I heard. A couple of weeks there was a tremendous amount, too many people showing up. So soon it'll go outside. We're going to redo the, get out there, change it from two courts to four courts to hopefully handle it. And then if attendance continues to grow, well, we're going to have to get into some sort of a rescheduling plan for in the community center here, but I think it's a growing sport and growing numbers of people that in the age that play that sport. So, but we'll deal with it when it comes along. So everything's going good.
There is people from outside the community that come as well.
Well, yeah, if it continues like it is, and we're starting to use up a lot of time in the community center with people from outside of McKellar attending, do we try it?
Yeah.
Do we have to look at it in some other way, whether how we do this or...
They could use their dump card to get in.
there you go. We need a rec card or a residence card for recreation. But anyways, hopefully it doesn't happen, but we'll keep monitoring in the meantime.
Okay, sounds good. Any other reports? We have resolution 23-355, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Hassan. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? All those in question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-356, moved by Councillor Pekman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-39, being a bylaw to confirm the
question here.
Oh.
Question period.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, question, comment period. Good. Is there anybody still online?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you give them a mic?
They're aware online that no questions? Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I was on a roll there. Move Councilor Pekin and second Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller is hereby given bylaw number 2023-39, being bylaw to confirm that the proceedings of Council first and second reading for the read a third time and passed at open Council the 16th day of May 2023.
7, moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, adjourn this meeting at
9:23 p.m.
We meet again on May 18th, 2023, for a special meeting of Council to conduct equipment operator, truck driver interviews, and other closed session business items.